Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon said, God does not regard our voices. He hears our hearts. And if our hearts do not sing, we have not sung at all.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and happy Friday. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Walk in Wisdom, Part 2, as a study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians continues.
Every time I have taught Ephesians, or even in my own quiet time, when I just read for my own, just for me, I always stumble when I get right here. When I say stumble, I've never totally, this is like holy ground, let's put it that way. And we're going to look at characteristics now of being filled, controlled, and soaked by the Holy Spirit of God. And we use these words here. Paul uses words like speaking, singing, making, and submitting. Now, I believe, and I say this with tenderness and love, not judgment, for the majority of Christians, I believe that this is foreign soil. It's like, say, have you ever been to Europe or Iceland? No, I've never been to Iceland. Some of you might have to say, I have never been here before, and that's okay. But we want to understand what it means to be filled and refilled and walking and controlled and soaked and saturated with the Spirit of God, where there's no more room in our vessel. Lord, we just want to do whatever you want us to do. And so Paul says, speaking to one another in what? Psalms. And then he gives something else. Of course, Psalms, we have 150 Psalms in the Bible. Speaking to one another in Psalms. And speaking to one another, hymns. That word literally is talking about hymns that are composed by believers, okay, throughout the centuries and so forth. It says, and hymns. And then he says, and spiritual songs. I'll talk about that more in a minute. He says, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, that speaking and that singing and the hymns and psalms and all the rest of that, the spiritual songs. Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon said, God does not regard our voices. He hears our hearts. And if our hearts do not sing, we have not sung at all. Now, let's do a contrast, just like Paul is doing. Have you ever, we all have, but I know that you've noticed the effects on those who are soaked with wine. Or Coors Light, or whatever the name of beer is today. I don't know. Falstaff, I guess, Old Milwaukee. I don't know if they still have that stuff. You know what I mean? There's an effect of being soaked with that stuff, right? I mean, we've all seen the happy drunk. We've all seen the sad drunk. We've all seen the crying drunk. We've all seen the mean drunk. You know what I mean? We've all seen the I have lost all of my inhibitions drunk. Do you understand? You ever been to a Christmas party and that was going around? Woo! You know, in the secular world, I tell you, dancing on the table, I mean, you know, I know you've never seen anything like that. No, listen, and there's effects to being soaked with that, okay? You've heard the word, man, that guy, that girl was trashed. Matter of fact, I saw on the news last night, COVID parties. Man, they were out there dancing, and that person was so wasted, and she fell, and I mean, just, she was trashed, you know? Can you imagine having a COVID-19 party? What's wrong with us? Not us, them. No, you know, or trash. Man, that person was wasted. Man, he's trashed. They're passed out. Or, yes. Or, they're a toilet hugger. You know what I mean? They're throwing up. I have never been filled with the Spirit where I threw up or woke up with a headache the next day. Do you understand? Never. So what does it tell us about being filled with the Spirit? It says speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Let's move into some foreign soil with some of us. When was the last time, in all the years you've been a believer, when was the last time you walked over to a brother or you walked over to a sister and you spoke a psalm to them? You know what I mean? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen? When's the last time you did that? Or, you know, you can walk over like in David. I love what David said, but listen, he said in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart. Did you ever walk in? Create in you a clean heart, you know. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Oh, don't cast me away from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Have you ever done that? Or have you ever walked up to someone and started singing a hymn? Like at the first service, you know, I'll use the same one. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Remember that song? You don't remember that song? Sometimes it makes me want tremble, tremble, tremble. That's a great song. You should listen to that when you get home. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just started singing a hymn to somebody? But no, not in your flesh, but because your Holy Spirit, it's being controlled. Listen, why would that even be in the Bible? Let me, why would we even do anything like that? Think about it for a minute. What's the real purpose of someone walking up and speaking a psalm to someone or singing a hymn to someone? Well, you know what it is? When you're full of the Spirit of God, it's not for you, it's for somebody else. Does that make sense? See, it's for those that are hurting. It's maybe be for those that are wounded, and you start speaking life and you start speaking truth and you start speaking hope because it's the Word of God. And what happens? It builds that person up. Why? Because you're now being led by the Spirit of God, but you're being a special filling with the Spirit of God. You know, I know that I told you this years ago, over the years, but in my first pastorate, I have never in my life sung a scripture or anything to anyone, never. And no, let me back up. I've never a spiritual song. Becky and I were in a service in Las Vegas, Nevada, and it was a great word that day, and there was someone spoke in other tongues at the end of the service, and there were two or three people that interpreted the tongue that was given. And I leaned over to Becky, and I didn't do this because I'm any spiritual giant or anything like that, but I told her, I said, that does not bear witness with my spirit. I said, I do not believe that those three people that stood up gave a proper interpretation. And then after I said that, there was about a 70, 80-year-old lady on the front who happened to be a Jewish lady who was born again. And she got up. I can see her face. She was so beautifully wrinkled. They're beautiful wrinkles. And the way her hair was. And she turned. It was almost like she was looking right at me. But I'm back there. She's right there. And she turned. And she had the interpretation. But the interpretation was given in song. And she sang the most beautiful song of interpretation. You know what I mean? Like Paul the Apostle said, I will sing with understanding. I will sing in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Listen, and she sang that, and the power of God, the move of God, the Spirit of God swept through that entire church. Now, this is the only time I've ever seen that, ever, in all the years I've been a believer. But see, when it says speaking to one another, psalms and hymns and so forth, it's to help other people. It's to bring life and healing to other people. You know, I know that I've told you this story over the years, but you remember in my first pastorate that there was a little girl. Her name was Jennifer. She was such a pretty little girl. Those beautiful, long, that hair came down all the way to her waist. And she was 12 years old, but she had been kidnapped by two men who had taken her and went to some abandoned building, and they repeatedly raped that little precious girl. It was horrible. She was in the hospital and, of course, then started going to psychiatrists because she just couldn't get well. And, I mean, wouldn't talk, wouldn't do anything. And her parents would bring her to church every Sunday, and she would, every Sunday at the end of the service, our altars were always full, and she would come, and she would come right there, and I usually come back up to the altar to pray. And she would kneel down, and she would start praying. And she put her hands, I can see it, so clearly, I've never forgotten this, embedded in my mind. She put her hands right like this, and tears came out of her eyes, and these were the largest tears I have ever seen. And as they hit her hand, they literally splashed. Every Sunday, it was the same. Every Sunday, I'd pray for her. But this Sunday in particular, I looked at her. I was about 10 feet away, and I said, "Father, do you not have anything for this little girl?" I said, "Lord, every Sunday she's here. She is so broken. She is so wounded. Do you have anything for her?" And as God is my witness, I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and God spoke to me and said, "Go over to her and say this. Tell her that I number her wanderings. I know where she's been. Tell her that I put her tears in a bottle. Are they not in my book?" Psalm 56, verse 8. I go over to her and I say, "Jennifer," I said, "did you know that God numbers your wanderings? He knows what happened in that building." I said, "Did you know, Jennifer?" And first time she starts looking at me. She's still down on her knees with her hands just like that. I said, "Do you know that God has a bottle and he has put all of your tears in that bottle and he's written every one in a book of remembrance?" That was a psalm. There you go. And I'm still looking at her, and then the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "Ask her what I do with those tears." I said, "Jennifer, do you know what God does with your tears?" She said, "No." And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He says, "Right now, I take all of your tears that are in my bottle, and I pour them out back upon you. And every tear that you cried will bring healing and restoration to your little body." That very moment, her tears dried up. She was immediately spiritually, emotionally, whatever it was, healed. And she stood straight up and walked right back to her parents. Never saw a psychiatrist again in her life. Now listen, you say, "Bill, you're a weirdo." I don't care. But I'm telling you, do I understand that? Do you understand how weird that is? Come on. Yes, but when God fills you, when you're doing his will, when you're working, he's controlling, and when he's controlling you, someone is going to get the victory. You're going to get the victory. Those that are hurting are going to get the victory. Amen? That's what it's all about, to be filled and controlled. Who would not want to obey that command? To set the captive free. Amen? To walk about doing good, just like Jesus did. Oh, that's exactly what it is, loved one. No, listen, you got to be careful today. We're in a hard time. You know, we're hearing all kinds of voices in the COVID-19 and all the things that are happening in our nation and especially here in our state. But you're going to have to be careful that you don't soak yourself in the world. Fill yourself in the world. Let the world control you. Listen, man, you don't want to be filled to the brim, overflowing with Netflix. There's nothing there. Come on. Oh, no, listen. See, it's so easy during bad times for believers to seek comfort instead of seeking the comforter. Amen? It's so easy in times like this for believers to seek help, but not the divine helper. You see what I'm getting at? Oh, loved one, no, we have to be so very careful. You don't want to soak in the world. Listen, no, not at all. You'll find yourself, instead of speaking psalms and hymns to other people, you're going to start singing those songs of the world. You know what I mean? And if you live in Texas like we do, what kind of songs do they sing in Texas? Country songs. Horrible. "All my exes live in..." You know, come on. That's what you're going to be singing. "Woe is me." I wrote one of them down. I'll go ahead. Here's a line. This is a line from a country song. "I bought the shoes that just walked out on me." One more. I don't know if I can even read that. "I want a beer as cold as my ex-wife's heart." You see, you don't want to start singing like the world. You don't want to do those things. No, look. Speaking to one another in psalms, speaking to one another in hymns, those that are composed by believers. Now watch this one. Here it comes. "And speaking to one another in..." in spiritual songs. That deserves an entire sermon all of its own. What in the world is a spiritual song? If you look up those two Greek words, okay, and try to put them all together, it means literally songs composed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, supernatural songs. Does that make sense? Yeah, listen to me. Remember in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas, they get arrested, you know, and they put, remember, they take them, put them down into the dungeon, the deepest part, the sewer, that's what's down there, total darkness. And they beat them and they stretch them out. They put their feet and their arms and their head in stocks. Remember that? And it was at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, and there they are all stretched out. That's real blood. That's real pain. Do you understand? And what did they do? It says at midnight, the darkest hour, Paul and Silas, they were praying. Number two, they were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. You know what happened when they started singing that particular hymn. The building started shaking. There was a great earthquake. All of the doors of the prison cells, they all came open where the prisoners were. And then, you know, the rest of the story. And the jailer, what happened to him and his family? They all got saved. Now listen very carefully. That is a supernatural song. What is a supernatural song? A supernatural song is given by the Spirit of God for a divine purpose. And that's what happened. Spurgeon put it this way about songs in the night, like we're going to learn just very quickly in just a second. He said this, songs in the night, meaning supernatural songs from the Holy Spirit, come only from God. They're not in the power of man. Well, this is when we need with all of our heart to get a supernatural song. Amen? Come on, we're in dark times. You know, the pandemic since March 13th to right now, loved one, nothing is the same. I don't go to the visitor center. Maybe you're a visitor here. Loved one, I didn't even welcome you. I couldn't know you anyway. You're wearing a mask. But remember how we used to, all of our visitors would leave here after the service, go over, get a free gift, that trip to Hawaii or a steak dinner, you know? I miss those things. I don't get to meet anyone. You guys, we're social distancing. You come in and now you're gone. That makes me lonely. I'm sure it makes you lonely. But we're in difficult times. We all need a new supernatural song in hard times. The Bible says in Psalm 42:8, the Lord commanded his loving kindness in the daytime. Here it comes. And in the night, I love this, in the night, not my song, his song will be with me. That's what I need right now. Remember Job 35:10, he says, oh, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night? I need a song. I tell you, I don't want to sing the songs that the world wants me to sing, the songs of worry or songs of maybe defeat or the songs of fear or loneliness, not knowing what to do. No, I want the song, like I just read, I want his song to be with me. I want God's song. I want a fresh song. I want that supernatural song. Amen? That's what I want right now in my life. God has a song for you. He has a song for me. He's the author of that song. I don't have to sing fear and all the rest of the things that the world is giving me. It says in Psalm 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory and let them sing aloud on their beds. You know, every song that God has for you is a song of deliverance. Amen? A song of deliverance. Listen to what it says. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. Here it comes. You shall surround me. Surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Pause. That's what that word means. Pause right there. Think about what he just said. I love that song, don't you? We used to sing it. You remember? You are my hiding place. Remember? What a great song. Oh, man. We can hide in the Lord. That's what we're doing now. We're hiding under the shelter of his wings. We believe with all of our heart that he will deliver us from the perilous pestilence, that no plague will come nigh our dwelling, and with long life he's going to satisfy each and every one of us. We trust God's word. That's a song of deliverance. But look at this now. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now listen, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, not to the beat of the music. Did you hear me? No, not to the beat of the music. Making melody where? In your heart. A lot of the music we have today, no one's going to remember it in 10 years. You know, where you're making, there's no praise band, and our praise band does an excellent job. Jesse and the team, they're great. But if you take all of that away, and you just wake up in the morning, and you walk into your prayer closet, and you lift up your hands, and you're praising the Lord, and you make melody in your heart unto the Lord, you're singing unto Him. You know, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Remember, oh, they're singing. Do you ever just sing to the Lord? Sing to Him. That's what that means, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. I fear that this generation may have forgotten how to sing to the Lord in private. Maybe you need to relearn that. Your prayer time would be much better. It says, giving thanks always for all things. That attitude of gratitude. Giving thanks unto the Lord, for we know that this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, giving thanks unto the Lord always. And it says, for all things. All things to God the Father and so forth. Does that mean everything in this verse here? Giving thanks for all things? I mean, for all the people that are dying for the COVID virus right now. Are we to give thanks for that? Okay, that's not what that verse means, is it? It says giving thanks unto the Father. What does that mean? It means for all things that God has done for you. It means that you're chosen in Him. You're accepted in Him. You're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. All your sins are as far as the east is from the west. And thanks be unto God our Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you give thanks for that. Amen? That's what that scripture means. Question, do you remember when Paul penned those verses? Do you remember where he was at? There you go. He was in prison, loved one. And then this big word, submitting. Oh, that's a great word. Submitting to one another in the fear of God or the fear of Christ. 1 Peter 5:5 teaches us that we are to be submissive one to another, to be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. We're to be submissive one to another in love. You're not my boss. I'm not your boss. We're one. Amen? But this word submit, listen carefully now. Verse 21 now introduces us, which we'll learn, the Lord willing, next Sunday, takes us into a brand new section concerning the marriage relationship between the man and woman, okay? So that word submitting, verse 21, like I always say, in marriage, if you don't understand verse 21, you will never do verse 22. Does that make sense? Never. So this next week, this word submit, by the way, is a beautiful word. It's not an ugly word. Man has made it an ugly word. Pastors have made it an ugly word. But it's not a word from man. It's a word from heaven. Amen? Submit is a beautiful, beautiful word. With all that being said, I encourage you to do something. Every morning, there's a command. Be ye filled with the Spirit. And if you'll say, Lord, I want that to be my desire. I want you to control my actions. I want to yield to you. I want to obey you. I know that I shouldn't look at this, or I shouldn't think that, or I shouldn't accuse that, or judge, or whatever it might be. Just say, Lord, fill me, control me, moment by moment, in my walk of wisdom, in my walk of love, as I walk circumspectly in a world filled with darkness.
Well, Pastor Bill's study in Ephesians continues on our Monday program, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. On behalf of Pastor Bill, thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. Or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.